Hello. Hello and welcome, everybody. It's Yvonne Silva with the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show. And I'm here today with my beautiful guest, Terry Wilderman, who I will introduce formally in just a moment. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Yvonne.
How are you?
Excellent. Better that I'm here. Now I'm really happy that I'm here with you today.
Yeah, well, I'm actually live today in snowy Calgary, looking out of my window at the pond here. It just stopped snowing, so we're good to go. If you've never tuned in yet until now to the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show, it's all about women elevating your confidence through sharing inspiring stories with amazing women who have now surfaced and are taking full advantage of their gifts in their business, but they've come from a place originally where it was kind of tragic or chaotic. So I'm here to showcase some amazing journeys and hopefully inspire you to continue on with the work that you need to do to help you achieve your maximum potential. So I am an entrepreneur. I'm here in Calgary, Alberta. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is my book, which is launching this month. Later, it's going to publish, which I'm super excited about. I'll share more about that in a little bit. And I am delighted to be able to have Terry Wilderman, who I met in March of this year at a Global Influence Summit down in San Diego that we met. And I was working in an exercise with Terry, and I just felt this really cool connection with her. She was so kind, so aware, and shared some really great insights with me, even in a short period of time that we met. Do you remember that, Terry?
I'm sitting here thinking so much happened that weekend, and we were sitting towards at a table towards the left. Yes, it's coming back to me.
And then we did the exercise with Gary about...
Yes.
So anyway, it's really interesting that we've had an opportunity to be in one of the same groups together and sharing some connections. And this show, this time, the interview is about how you were able to move from capsizing to upright. How burnout gave me back my life is what you shared with me. Mm. And this sounded like a fascinating journey of loss and then coming back from burning out to now your place of confidence. And I have to say, I've been there too. So I'm interested to hear your story because you are the guest, the featured guest today. And then I'm happy to share a little bit of mine. So for those who haven't met Terry yet, Terry is an amazing lady. She has actually had such an interesting background. She's actually an intuitive leadership speaker, facilitator, and coach. So she's actually moved from a realm that might be kind of woo-woo by some into working more in the corporate realm with intuition. So we'll hear a little bit more about your professional services, but I want to just dive in and hear about the story and have you share in your own words a little bit about your journey. What happened? Where did you start?
Well, my background has always been very practical and logical. You know, my degree is in criminal justice. And in my 20s, I was in law enforcement. And towards the end of my 20s, because I always had a side business, I mean, I've been in business since I was 18 years old, I've always had a business on the side of everything I ever did. And then at the age of 27, I ended up owning a manufacturing company where we built electrical control panels and baggage racks for the railroad industry. Mm. So it was a very practical and logical type industry. But in my heart, I was always, you know, it was always about intuition. It was always about the emotional and the energetic for me. And at the age of 31, I got married. And that I married the Navy. So... we ended up traveling quite a bit, and in those travels, I grew in a way that was a detour, because I'm a businesswoman. All of a sudden, with my husband's career, my business hat had to come off, and my support hat as a spouse, military spouse, had to go on. And I realized from a leadership perspective, because leadership is so very, very important to me, always has been, that I had a real opportunity to serve in a way I had not expected before, and to also help many, many, many families, those that served on my husband's ship, as well as those on the ships around us. So I gave it 1,000%, and I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. So burnout number one came about. And honestly, I like to say capsized when I use burnout, because something about capsizing that really, burnout is one thing, capsizing, it's like, oh man, the whole boat turned over. and it really was that multiple times. And it was about learning how to turn the boat upright. And when we moved to Newport, Rhode Island, which is the sailing capital of the world, pretty much, everything here is about sailing. And that was about 23 years ago, 24 years ago. Things started to land in my lap that was unexpected. Doctors, I had lost faith in doctors for various reasons. And suddenly, I got connected weeks after moving here, after one of the worst burnouts I had ever had, where this woman was a Reiki master. I didn't understand Reiki. I really didn't understand energy. I didn't get any of it. It was just not making sense to me. And the more I studied it, the more I focused on it, the more it was like a web started to be created, and I could actually see how everything was connected. And I started to study Reiki, and the Reiki led me to becoming a coach, because I realized when I was working on people that I didn't know how to ask the right questions. And at the same time, I was growing my business in professional development. And what I realized was I wasn't asking the right questions from a professional development perspective either. So I went to coaching school, you know, it was 2 years of coaching school and $10,000 later, you know, that kind of thing. And this was back in 2000, 2001, when the coaching industry was really starting. And I found myself in going to coaching school because I experienced another burnout, because I had 3 kids at that time, 3 different schools, running a business, doing the holistic stuff, da-da-da-da-da, on and on. It was too much. I didn't understand boundaries.
I was actually going to ask, Terry, because, you know, sometimes we don't learn the lesson the first time, and then that same lesson, I find, keeps coming back over and over. So you've had
absolutely. And it was the lesson of boundaries. And my focus was about serving. All I wanted to do was serve and help and serve and help and serve and help. And the one person that I forgot to serve and help was myself. I didn't know how to put those boundaries up. And suddenly, I asked for help again because I found myself slipping again. And I went to the store after I had an ER visit because I had such deep chest pains, and it was anxiety. And I went to the store, and this book, I needed to go to the book section. It was this very intense feeling I had that I had to go to this specific store in this specific department, and I listened to it, and this book fell off the top shelf and landed at my feet. It was one of those, okay, you know, I don't have to get hit over the head. And
I'm
the book
listening.
I'm listening. And the book was the Heart Math Institute. It was the Heart Math book. And I picked it up, took it home, read through it, and I went, oh, good Lord. And I went back and bought every single copy and handed it to my clients. And
for
the following year, I became...
Well, I was going to say, for those who don't know about HeartMath, can you just share... Do you have the book title, or remember?
It was the HeartMath Solution. It was way back when. the Heart Math okay. Solution. And you can go to Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Math, M-A-T-H, .com, and .org. The .org is the nonprofit part of it, and the .com is the more commercial. And there is so much there about stress resilience. Right. And the studies and the research are on the .org site. And there are so many white papers. And they're one of the premier organizations in the world on stress resilience. And I became licensed as a HeartMath provider in 2001.
Lovely.
So, and what I realized was, it was, the bottom line is it's all about perception. That's really what it's about. It's your perception of how you see your world. And when we take a deep breath and connect with the power of the heart, we truly can create internal magic and it really helps us to upright from those capsizing moments, because the brain, the heart, then when we connect with the heart, it automatically connects with the brain. And what we have found is that the heart itself actually sends more messages to the brain than the brain does to the heart. The heart
is
also
the chair. I remember seeing in the Power of the Heart movie, which Susan Cullen kindly introduced, and I was watching that, where it talks about the 20-second gap between your gut telling, your heart and your gut and your brain, and how those things are all connected.
Yes.
But your gut will react 20 seconds before your head will.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes, and the heart is the first organ that appears in the body after gestation, and you can measure the energy of the heart 6 to 10 feet away from the body in a 360-degree circumference. And the energy of the brain is only about 2 or 3 inches.
Mm.
So the heart...
I'm also trained in Reiki, so I have been working on this whole topic of energetic resonance with my coach for the past 4 years, after realizing that when I was burning out, because I've been there too, I was actually coming across as being more aggressive in my energy than assertive.
Mm-hmm.
And after that got pointed out to me in a nice way, thank you, Tara, it was an interesting lesson to say, wow, that's not how I intend to show up. I don't want to be aggressive. I want to be known as confident and assertive. So how do I switch that up? And the burnout piece for me was, I didn't even realize that I had been slipping down that slippery slope until I was on a telesummit speaking as an expert on moving from career stress to career joy, and listening to the speakers on the first few days defining what burnout was and emotional stress, and realizing, oh my gosh, I'm already showing those behaviors and some of those same signs, and I didn't even realize it. I mean, I felt anxious and anxiety, and heart palpitations and headaches and things, but I still had not recognized that I was actually in burnout.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're just going to take, that was pretty interesting stuff. We're just going to take a short musical interlude for just a moment. I'm just going to gather my thoughts there. Wow, it's interesting how many parallels I've already discovered that we have just being on this call with Reiki, with working with leaders and confidence, understanding the power of the heart. I don't understand it to the degree you do, because I'm not certified in that, But I do quite a lot of work with EQI and emotional intelligence, and then connect that with my Reiki work, because women, you know, I've worked predominantly with women, and they are much more open to exploring their emotional intelligence, which is a, you know, it's a behavioral shift. If you, if you don't like how you show up on the assessment, it's not like a Myers-Briggs type indicator where you have a static personality type. If you don't like your results on those 15 competencies that are examined, you have a chance to, through coaching, work on shifting some of those behaviors and helping to, particularly in leadership, really tune into your awareness of how you're showing up and how your interrelations are with others in the leadership role. So interesting. So you had burned out, you'd come back, and somewhere in between you started a holistic center.
Well, actually, it was a leadership and holistic center. My focus has always been, and I have felt like this since I was in my 20s, that it was truly important to integrate intuition with everything else that we were doing. And when I opened my center, also in 2001, a lot of things happened in 2001. I got certified as an executive coach, certified as a CTI coach, certified in heart math, and I opened up my center. And I opened the center up September 1st of 2001, 10 days before 9/11. Mm-hmm. Now, the goal was, I'm a professional trainer. I'm a speaker. That's what I was doing. Right. And if you were in the training industry at that time, you know that after 9/11, all of the training budgets around the world literally closed up. Everything closed up. And here I am with this 5-year lease going, you've got to be kidding me. And anyway, so it was called the Intuitive Leadership. No, it wasn't Intuitive Leadership then. It was the Winds of Change Holistic Education and Leadership Center. And I did the professional development training, the leadership, and of course you had to be very, very careful of the words that you used, because you couldn't talk about, you could talk about intuition, you could talk about gut. It was very, and still is acceptable to talk about gut. Intuition is much more acceptable. God forbid you talked about spirituality. You know, people would look at you like you had 10 heads on your shoulders. But we did have practitioners, holistic practitioners, working out of the center. And we had the Reiki and the cranial sacral and holistic counseling. We had one person doing body talk. I had another person doing, I forget what it was she did. But anyway, we had people doing all kinds of things. So it was truly an integrated type center. Mm-hmm. And some of them I would bring in when I was doing my professional development trainings, and I did it for the government and for city government and for individual companies. They would come into our training center, and we would train their staff. And I was training their staff on leadership, communications, team building, customer service, telephone skills. Those were the things that we would be working on. And image management.
Very hardcore stuff. Very tangible, very practical.
Very tangible, very practical and logical.
Yeah.
But as I was teaching it, though, I was able to integrate the emotional stuff. And what was fascinating to me was one time I did a training for 130-some managers for one of the company, the government agencies that were here, and they came in groups of 12. And I will never forget this one person who said to me, this is the best training we've ever had because we don't get to talk about this.
And what were you talking about? Were you talking about intuition, or were you going across that line and talking about angels and spirituality?
Oh, no, I didn't go there at all.
Okay.
What I did was I did things like I had a really pretty little pot that had words on them. You've seen angel cards, right?
Yep.
The little tiny angel cards. Well, I did have the angel cards there, but I also had another pot that had just words and phrases on them. And people would select the words, and I would give them a little angel card. It was it had just a little picture of a little angel on it, but the words were all very, very grounded words. And people would sit there with their jaws dropping, like, how did you know? I said, I didn't know. You're the ones who pulled the cards out. And we talked about it. And people and their classmates, or teammates, I should say, would compliment on those, would speak about those words and how it matched the individual who pulled the cards. And it was very powerful learning because these folks are, they were federal government folks. Right. And you didn't talk about values and emotions in the workplace at that time. You just didn't. And I just never forget that one class where they were like, this is so refreshing and so different. And it opened the door to them seeing one another in a different way. Now, one of the other gents that was in the class, and it was rather funny, he insisted that he knew everything. You know, you always have one of those. He knew everything, and he didn't need to participate in the class. And everybody's looking at him like, you're the one who needs this the most. It was just fascinating to watch the dynamics. And again, there's always somebody like that in the workshop. So you just hold the space, and we did the exercises, and it opened the door to them seeing things differently. And that's really the idea. Now, today, all these years later, so we're talking about another a full decade later, companies are more open to this now. They're open to values. They're open, you know, and it's not just, they're not giving it just lip service. They're allowing people to meditate, to tune in with their hearts. They are allowing people to tune in with their intuition. They are talking about workplace spirituality. I mean, you've got the Facebooks and the Googles who have little meditation rooms, you know, that kind of thing. So people are growing into it and realizing it is a part of who we are if they want to avoid their team members from capsizing. Because when you capsize, you're drowning. You are drowning if you don't know what you're doing and you don't have the help to get your to upright that boat, which is your body.
And, I think I'm seeing a lot of the same things you're seeing when it comes to, because I have an HR background. I was in senior HR roles for 15 years, and there's certainly more acceptance of putting, you know, investment dollars, not just into training for the hard, you know, the hard skills, but into the personal development areas where it falls into wellness because of the skyrocketing costs associated with the benefit plans. Now, we don't have the same healthcare system that you have down there, which is, you know, super expensive. We do have, you know, government-provided healthcare for basic services. However, even the, you know, the EAP services are seeing shifts in workplace stress, and there's a huge amount of money that is associated with that. So I think that that's shifted the appetite to say at least, you know, what is mindfulness, and you know, how do we have an opportunity for, you know, yoga to come into the workplace and ways that our employees can de-stress, and if it's provided as a company benefit, then it actually links in with employee engagement, which is really cool. So
and it took a long time for that to happen.
Yeah, words are super important, and I totally agree with you. I think now is a good time to just play a little clip about the book, because the book I've been writing for the last year and a half, it's Words, Women, and Wisdom, and it's all about the modern art of confident conversations. So here's just a little short clip about a bit more about it.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the modern art of confident conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signalling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
So more on the rest of the story about the book is actually on my website, which is where you can this week order 2-for-1 copies, which is wordswomenandwisdom.com. So it's words, women, and then A-N-D, wordswomenandwisdom.com. And this next couple of days, I'm going to take it down in a couple of days. There is an opportunity to order multiple copies at a discount and 2-for-1. And just to, as a reminder for those tuning in that aren't aware of what I'm doing with the book, it is a mission-inspired project. So for every book that's purchased, I'm donating a copy to a women's shelter, foundation, or not-for-profit, because I really want to get this work out to the world quickly and twice as fast by the way I'm donating copies to foundations. So, yeah. So I am curious, Terry. With all of these amazing experiences that you've had, can you talk to me a little bit? Because I had a number of people saying, yeah, this looks like a really interesting conversation you're going to have about the intuition piece and about angels. Because I know you've got a couple of stories of when your intuitive hits came through so strongly that it really changed the direction of your business.
Well, it did, and actually, intuition was always a big part of my life. Things would happen that I would sit there and go, what is this all about? And I always, always listened to how I felt. Nobody taught me this. I just knew. And we all have, you know, we call it the four clairs. We all have some kind of intuition, whether it's clairvoyance, which is the third eye, and people who are clairvoyant tend to be visual learners, or clairaudient, which is hearing. People hear, they can hear the word better, they can they love listening to podcasts a lot, that kind of thing, so they're clairaudient. Or clairsentient, where they're feelers. They just feel, you know how when you get the goosebumps and you know, your body just knows it. And claircognizant, you just know. Well, I started with claircognizance. And right now, all four of my clairs are equal, because when I open the door to just allowing it all to come in, it all just grew together. But in the very beginning, and I'm talking as a kid, it was just this knowing. And things would happen where I will never forget one time when I was sitting on the front stoop. My sister had had an argument with our next-door neighbor, and I was talking with this girl that my sister had the argument with, and after we were done talking, I remember standing up thinking to myself, God, where did those words come from? And I really had no idea where those words came from. It was and that was my first time of, and I had to be maybe 10 or 11 years old, and that was the first time I was so clear that there was something outside of me that was connecting with me, and they were very powerful words. And even as knowing what I wanted in law enforcement and going up against my Cuban parents, you know, have you ever told a Cuban father and a Cuban mother, hey, I want to be a cop, and this is the 1970s?
No, but we might not have time for that story.
You don't have time for that story. But anyway, I knew in my heart it was something that I needed to do, and it was part of my path. And that in itself is a huge, long story. And then, but even as a police officer, intuitively a lot of different things happened. But I think the most powerful stories of all were after my daughter was born. She is now 31 years old, and she was 10 months old, and my husband was finishing school down in Florida. We were living in Alexandria, Virginia. We were going to our next duty station, and we went to a Chinese restaurant to say goodbye to a friend of mine who became a very good friend. And we were at a Chinese restaurant, and I buckled her into her seat. And do you remember the beige bucket seats that we used to put our kids in? We called them the bucket. Those were the car seats that we had, you know. And so we stuck the kid in that, and bada bing, bada boom, there we go. And I'm pulling out of the driveway, but I had not buckled my seatbelt. And again, this was 31 years old before. Years ago, before seatbelts really, really were pushed on us and have saved so many lives. And I heard a word in my left ear, put your seatbelt on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I pull out of the road onto the main road, and I heard it again, put your seatbelt on, and I ignored it. And we came to one stoplight, and I heard the words again so loudly it made me jump. Put your seatbelt on now! I'm like, holy crap. You know, it's like, what the heck is going on here? Anyway, I continued on to the next, on my way, and I stopped at the next light. And the light turned green, and I went forward into the intersection, and I got slammed by a drunk driver.
Wow.
And all I can tell you is it was before the era of airbags. So if I had not had my seatbelt on, I would have gone through the windshield.
Wow.
My face ended up hitting the steering wheel. And I think I lost consciousness for just a couple seconds. And I remember bringing my head up going, what the heck just happened? I looked up, and I was literally sitting underneath the stoplight, and it was green. And to my left, there was a car attached to my front end.
Wow.
And we were very lucky. My daughter had contusions up and down her chest from the straps. And as the doctor said, if she had not been in that seat, she would have been dead.
Wow.
And God only knows what happened to me. So that was the first time I listened to the words. That same kid, many years later, going to school 5 hours away, I sent the angels after her. I said, please protect her. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, and long she went. And I'm standing in the den that I'm pacing right now. I was standing in the den folding clothes, and I suddenly got an image. And it was of Archangel Michael with his hands on the front of my daughter's red Impala, with an angel on either side and one in the back, literally steering her car. And his long hair was flowing behind him, and it was just this gasp and this incredibly clear, clear, clear image. And it was one of those, what the heck was that all about? And I just sat down, and 5 minutes later, I get a phone call. Mommy! And she was going 70, 75 in the left lane, and there was a tire in the middle of the road.
Mm.
And she said, Mom, I have no idea how I got to the right side of the road. I'm on the
side. Wow.
I said, I do. I know how you got there. I saw it.
So how do you reconcile when you're talking with clients or workshops with, corporate leaders, how do you reconcile that, what has become a reality for you, with intuition? Like, how do you teach people how to pay attention to the messages? Is there one or two tips that you can share with the listeners?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the first thing is to stop running away from it. That's the first thing. Fear is huge. We're scared we're not going to be believed. We're scared our coworkers are going to think we're fruitcakes. We're concerned our bosses are going to think we have lost it. You know, that kind of fear tends to keep us hidden. We end up hiding in the spiritual closet. Okay? The thing is, every single one of us, every one of us lives in this land. our emotion, our behaviors are driven by emotions. I will never forget reading in the newspaper that this guy says he only makes his decisions on the practical and the logical. He does not make any kind of emotional decisions. When you make a decision with the practical and logical, it is an emotional decision. That is actually an emotion. So
judgment, right?
Yes. Yeah. So our emotions are our drivers for our behaviors, whether it's practical or logical, okay, or more people-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And
so don't run from it. Okay, that's one.
Yeah, so the thing is with our emotions and spirituality go hand in hand, our emotions and our intuition, because when we listen to our intuition, it guides us to what to do and how to do it. But again, it's the fear piece that we need to get past. Fear is about forgetting everything is all right. It's about perception, and it's about acknowledgement. Intuition is about tapping into the one of those four, whichever four of the clairs that we talked about, and allowing that gift to emerge and listening to it. We're taught how to listen. I'm sorry?
Well, I was going to ask, is there a particular exercise that you've used with some of your clients or workshops that works really well to help them identify how to tap in?
Yes, and that's what I was about to get into. The quick shift technique that I teach is an incredibly simple and powerful exercise that allows you to do that. And the first step, would you like to do it with me very quickly?
Sure. Yeah, let's all do it.
And before I go there, just to let you know, this is a technique, this is the first step that I teach in stress resilience, and the first step that I teach in teaching people how to tap into their intuition. Right? So so this is a double whammy here, and it's so simple, it's ridiculous. You put your hand on your chest, and I invite you to sit down if you can, and wherever it is that you're sitting, allow your body to completely let go. And allow the chair to support you. The chair was meant to support you. And if you're having trouble letting your body let go to allow the chair to support you, that's a clue that control may be an issue. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So just sit in the chair, put your hand on your chest, and your chest becomes an air pump. Not your chest, your hand becomes an air pump. So breathe into your hand and out of your hand. And drop your shoulders, and with each breath, relax the forehead, relax the scalp, relax the jaw, the shoulders, the chest, the torso, the hips, the knees, ankles, and feet. And take in a couple more breaths. And from here, think of something that makes you feel really, really good. Whether it's skiing, swimming, holding a baby, a puppy, or a kitten, hugging your significant other, riding, driving, walking the beach, whatever it is, and just put yourself in a place where you can hear the noises, the sounds, see the colors, and imagine yourself feeling the other person, the other thing, whatever it is that you're doing. Just keep breathing deeply for just a few seconds. Nice. Okay, and little by little, start to wiggle your fingers and your toes. Open your eyes and come back.
My hands are buzzing now, I have to say.
Well, this exercise, with practice, you can do it instantaneously. to connect with your heart. I encourage people to take a minute out of every hour to do this. Okay, because what is happening physiologically, you are reducing the cortisol levels, which is the hormone that is created with the fight or flight that we humans are wired with. And that cortisol, because we are so much into the go, 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 have to, need to, need to, need to, is way, way, way above, even when our ancestors, who were the gatherers and the hunters, were around. So we have so much cortisol in our bodies that what this exercise does is it lubricates the body with the DHEA that is needed, which is the opposite of cortisol. It helps you feel good, feel better, and it creates more health. So that simple exercise of breathing, it oxygenates the blood, and it's similar to, if you could think of it as when you're on an airplane, the flight attendant tells you to put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
Right.
That's what you're doing. You're putting the oxygen mask on yourself first. And the simple exercise is the beginning, just the first step of several of the exercises that I teach for decision-making and for stress resilience. So it's just one of several. It's the foundational one. And if your guests would like to get a copy of it, they can go to Quick, Q-U-I-C-K, Shift, S-H-I-F-T, Zone, Z-O-N-E.com, quickshiftzone.com, and they can download it.
That's awesome. Thank you for that gift. And as you were talking about reducing cortisol levels there and fight and flight, I've written a few different pieces of my book. I mean, the book is all about it's 40 different words that women, words and word concepts that women can practice and increase their awareness about using and start using in different ways or tapping into different concepts. And, you know, when we can raise the oxytocin levels and decrease, you know, cortisol impact, it really does make a big difference to how we show
difference.
Up. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Just gonna play a second little clip here about the book, and then we'll see if we can take some calls. I don't know if anyone has questions for you, Terry, but if you're listening live and you want to phone in, here's the number. 712-775-4842, and then press 1. Or you could dial direct 701-719-4207. And I'll give those numbers out again after this clip. Here's a little bit more about the book.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
Welcome back. So I have an alternate number to give out. So if you have a question for Terry or myself around this whole topic of intuition and listening to your 4 senses and how to leverage that, this is an alternate number. I encourage you to use this one directly. 888 627-6008. So that's a live interactive call-in line. 888-627-6008. So, Terry, yes. Such interesting mm-hmm. conversation here. So yes, when someone says to you, so what do? Do you say right away, you know, I'm an intuitive leader, or how do you introduce yourself?
I tell them that I work with mission-driven entrepreneurs to help them elevate to the next level, and we discuss mm-hmm. different ways that I do that. So I don't get right into the intuition piece. I don't get into the angel piece. You had asked earlier about how I bring up angels. I don't, you know. I don't bring up angels. Now, having said that, I was delivering a speech a year ago March, for NABO. And the way this woman framed this question, I almost had to talk about the angels, and I did mention it. Well, that was the end of that. They would not allow me to talk about anything else. They only wanted to know about the angels. It was a riot. I'm like, okay, here we go. And it was something I hadn't really talked about that much. I actually never had talked about in a professional speech. But now, with the new TV show that we have, Your Seventh Sense, Business Powered by Angels and Intuition, it does mm-hmm. come up, and we do talk about it, and every week we have a guest who talks about how intuition was a key component or is a key component to running a successful business. So intuition is more accepted today. A lot of the people who are intuitive do connect with the angels, so I allow them to talk about it more than I talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it does get very, very interesting. But my focus is about assisting mission-driven entrepreneurs to integrate the practical and the logical with the emotional, energetic, and spiritual so that they can operate on all cylinders and really be the influence and leadership that they want to be for themselves, their coworkers, their clients, and their relationships.
And is that the content of your latest book, The Enchanted Boardroom, evolve into an unstoppable intuitive leader? Do you talk about
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's my second solo book, and congratulations, by the way, on your book. I'm so looking forward to getting it and reading it. It sounds delightful. this last book was written in 2016, and The Enchanted Boardroom is all about how to integrate stress resilience. First of all, it's very focused towards the entrepreneur, the business owner. And we talk about what is stress resilience. We talk about negative emotion, positive emotion, how to pivot from one side to the other, what happens in a workplace that's full of negative emotion, what happens in a workplace that's full of positive emotion. We get into positive words and thoughts. We get into understanding magnetic business attraction and law of attraction. I get into communication using DISC. I've been teaching DISC since 1994. Mm-hmm. And we get into DISC and emotional intelligence. So we talk about all of that in there. And then the last part of the book is about connecting intuition to all of the practical stuff that I had taught before that. And so the next book is going to be expanded on and hopefully will be coming out in fall of 2019. So yes, The Enchanted Boardroom, evolve into an unstoppable intuitive leader.
Lovely. Well, it certainly sounds like there's more parallels and overlap in the work that we do in some of the experiences that we've had. And I had a previous company before Flourish, which I, you know, when I took my executive coach certification 10 years ago, I had started with the shattered ceiling, it was called, which, you know, women get the name right away. They love the logo. It was like a shattered piece of glass. And they got it. It was all about breaking through and, you know, achieving new success levels in their career. And one day I had literally 5 episodes of breaking glass all around me. And it was right around that same time when I was recognized and I was burning out. And I really had to stop. And I actually stopped for about 2 months and decided, you know, this is not working the way I want it to work. And chasing these contracts is burning me out. It's not mm-hmm. nourishing my soul. I need to operate my business differently. And that was when Flourish was born. And then shortly after mm-hmm. that, connecting with some lovely individuals, Yannick Silver and Maverick Camp, and looking at his book on how to have a different type of business and have a mission-inspired business really spoke to me. And that was also when the idea started bubbling up. But, yeah, I think there's enough experiences here in stories and my passion for words to it's time to write that book. And then, you know, how it all comes together with the experiences, the mentorship programs that I chair, you know, a big focus is on having more powerful language, whether that's working, as you do, with entrepreneurs to help refine mm-hmm. what services they're offering and how they articulate that in their marketing and in their service offerings and how they speak up about what it is that they do. So, lovely. I'm so glad that we got reconnected.
Yes, absolutely.
We just have a couple of minutes left. So is there anything else that you wanted to share? Where can people get more of Terry? I'm sure there's going to be lots of people saying, wow, that was so intriguing. How do they connect with you?
Well, I'm very excited. My new website just launched on Sunday, intuitiveleadership.com. I've had intuitiveleadership.com, but this is just a new revised and improved website. So you can get in touch with me there. There's a lot of fun stuff that's on there. And they can, on Facebook, at Intuitive Leader, Your Seventh Sense is on Facebook. On Twitter, Your Seventh Sense also. So mm-hmm. we're all over the place. LinkedIn, Terry Wildeman. You just click, put my name in, TerryWildeman on social media, and you'll find me.
Lovely. Well, I wanted to thank you, Terry, for sharing some of your amazingness. I don't know if that's I should look that up and see if that's a real word. But anyway, to share all of all of these highlights of how your experience has led you to where you are today, and teaching how to bring out your intuitive side. And I know for myself, when I tap into and pay attention to the messages coming through, whether that's through my gut, whether that is looking outside and seeing. I mean, right now I'm seeing a ton of magpies out there. Flapping around right in front of my window, and paying attention to spirit animals, paying attention to Reiki and how I'm feeling, and just who I'm bumping into. It really does make a difference. It's a much, much nicer way to live when you live with grace and ease and flow, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it's a mindfulness and awareness of where you are, and that's something that is. Needs to be amplified, our awareness and our mindfulness of how we present ourselves and who we really are. When we stay in our own energy, stop worrying about what other people think.
That's in my book.
Yeah, it's such a big deal. Stop worrying about what it's none of your business what other people think about you. What is your business is for you to be the best version of yourself. Exactly. And to do that, it's about increasing your resilience and loving yourself for who you are and the amazing gifts that you have to offer the world. And when you do that, your inner magic is going to come out. And when that inner magic comes out, you naturally attract the tribe that you're meant to attract. Because even though people may do similar things, we have different tribes because they respond to the energy of that individual. And so there really isn't such a thing as competition, as far as I'm concerned, in business. And you've talked about how we do similar things. We do similar things. And that's what's so beautiful. We need more of us to be out here doing this work.
I definitely want to have an opportunity to book a one-on-one call and follow up on this conversation because you're so right. I mean, can I share a secret quickly?
Oh, please, do it.
The book is my book, all about words. I mean, really what it's doing is putting the awareness on the words that women use today that help them either elevate or deflate their confidence. However, there's a ton of other concepts in there that are really intended to help. Once the awareness is awakened, then we can actually do more work together and self-growth and development. So the words are just the external expression of how people are feeling inside about their confidence level. So today we have to wrap up. It's been lovely sharing this time with you, Terry. I will be reaching out. And I hope our listeners have had an intriguing experience this lunchtime. Certainly it was a day to stay inside with the snowing Calgary. And have a lovely week, everybody. Tune in 2 weeks at noon for more Learning at Lunchtime with a special guest. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you so much.